John chapter 6 and verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come through me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And because I want to focus your thinking on the last part of that verse, I'm going to just read that part with you again. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. We love to do what we are doing tonight. To be able to tell you about the Lord Jesus. We count it a great privilege that you have given us tonight. You have come and given us the opportunity to tell you about him. And one way of looking at what we are about in our message is that we are interested tonight in introducing you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we are ordinary men. You've already heard Mr. Dirksen express his appreciation of the privilege God has given him. Never thought when he was saved at 21 he would be speaking to you this evening. I was a boy born in New Brunswick and a humble, ordinary home. And I think of the kindness of God to me from those days till the present moment. It's a great privilege to preach the gospel. It's a great privilege to speak about the Lord Jesus. And in case you feel tonight that we are rather arrogant in suggesting that you need to meet the Lord Jesus, let me tell you, in his own teaching, that the Lord Jesus made it clear that those who had never had a personal meeting with him will never be in heaven. There were those in his day, and they said, "We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets." So they had sit and listen, they had listened to his teaching, that they had sat in his presence, that they had an awareness of him much more than you would have of the Lord Jesus. They saw him, they heard him. Literally, audibly. And he would say to them, "I never knew you." There were some that said, "We have cast out demons in thy name, and in thy name we have done many wonderful works." They were Christian workers. And he will say, "I never knew you." Christian works. Going to a Christian building, listening to Christian teaching, assenting to Christian teaching, is not personally meeting the Lord Jesus. And again I say, if you have never personally met him, you will never be in heaven. If you have never personally met him, then your soul will be lost in a burning hell forever. We want to introduce you tonight to the Lord Jesus. And you say, perhaps, do you think that the Lord Jesus would be interested in meeting me tonight? If there were someone outstanding in earth terms, some great political leader or some great name and light present in this meeting tonight, and I don't recognize you if you're here, so don't be offended. If such a person were here tonight, and someone else came alongside of you and said, "I'd like to introduce you to this person." Now, don't tell me you wouldn't be interested in meeting him. But I think in your mind you'd have a doubt whether that person would really be cordial if you met him. I want to speak to you tonight, first of all, then, about the willingness of this Savior. I want you to know that this Savior is willing to meet you tonight. In fact, let me tell you how willing he is to meet you tonight. He has died for you. Oh, the tremendous interest of the Lord Jesus in men and women. Let me speak to you tonight of his voluntary stoop. I could never exaggerate the greatness of this person. I could never describe to you fully what it means that this man who is interested in meeting you tonight is none less than God's eternal Son. I hope you understand tonight, that does not make him less than God himself. He is fully God. And yet the fact that he is the Son of God expresses the delight that the Father God has that this Son should have all the glory, that this Son should be the one who will receive honor. He is the eternal Son. And I want to tell you that from the indescribable heights of his eternal, unoriginated glory, loftiness unparalleled, he stooped with no constraint but the love of his own heart to the lowliness of a manger where they had no room for him in Bethlehem, to a home in despised Nazareth, and he could have chosen any home in the universe that was his. Until one day, his lowliness was described. He is led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. And God's eternal lofty Son was the lamb that was led away, rudely taken by cruel men, and not a word in his own defense. The stoop from the highest heaven to the lowliness of the slaughter was voluntary. Twas love that sought Gethsemane or Judas ne'er had found thee. Twas love that bound thee to the tree or iron ne'er had found thee. Let me tell you tonight, he's willing. Let me not tell you more than his voluntary stoop. Let me tell you of his voluntary shame. In his presence, the highest created beings covered their faces. In his presence, the highest created beings covered their feet. There was no place to rest. They were ready to speed at his bidding at any moment. And their united, uninterrupted work surrounding that throne was to cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." What an awesome sight it was that Isaiah saw. It's no wonder that when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, that he suddenly began to realize his own sinfulness. Now just hold that picture in your mind. And let me take you to another picture and show you a man who wears a crown. And the crown is a crown of thorns. And let me point out to you that on his lovely cheek, there are marks where they have pulled the hair from his face. And on that same cheek, there is spittle running down. I'm going from the sacred to the very ordinary. And if you don't know anything about this, you haven't lost anything, but I have listened to the news these days, and I hear there's a great furor in professional baseball because a man spat on another man. I'm not a baseball fan, but I'm fully in accord with the furor over that kind of thing. He was no ordinary man whom men spit. He was no ordinary man whom men spit upon. He was the lofty, unparalleled Lord. In all the unique splendor that was his. And from the splendor to the spitting, he is exactly the same person. And he spanned the distance voluntarily. But you say, yes, that's all so wondrous. But could I tell you tonight that it was all because of you? It was all because of me. If it were not for the shamefulness of men's sin, there would be no spittle upon his face.
If it were not for the shamefulness and curse of man's sin, there would be no crown of thorns upon his head. He came from the excellent glory, and in wondrous grace he stooped to the shame of Calvary. Because he loved me. Do you wonder? Do you wonder? Do you wonder why it is I love him so? When I think of all he's done, and for me, the guilty one, do you wonder why it is I love him so? Still I wonder, still I wonder, still I wonder why it is he loves me so. When I think of all I've done against him, the Holy One, still I wonder why it is he loved me so. He was willing. And let me tell you about his voluntary suffering. For this one came from a home in which there was no sin and no suffering eternally. And when Paul tells us how far he stooped, even the death of the cross, and John says he took to himself his cross and went forth. Yes, men made a choice to reject him. Yes, Pilate made a choice to deliver him to men. Yes, the Jewish leaders influenced the multitude. Yes, they all are culpable. But let me tell you tonight that all the power of the Roman army, all the power of a Jewish mob, all the power of a universe, had it all been directed against him, could never have forced the eternal to hang upon a cross of shame. He suffered at Calvary voluntarily. From the splendors of heaven to the sword of Calvary, it was all voluntary. He came from heaven and assumed manhood, that he might go to Calvary and fulfill the word of God that says, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow. Smite the shepherd." And could I tell you that the hand that held the sword that smote that shepherd at Calvary was the hand of omnipotence. When God dealt with sin, and the word of God tells us, Christ also hath once for all suffered for sins, the just in the place of the unjust, that he might bring us to God. His sufferings upon the cross were in wondrous love for a world of guilty men and women. The penalty of sin must be paid, and there is no other way that sin's penalty could ever be paid. He must come from heaven. He must suffer upon the rugged cross. Thank God tonight for a Savior who came willingly to bear my sins, to suffer my judgment, to take the chastisement of my peace. It was upon him. And thank God I can sing from my... I better not sing just now. Sing from my soul. With his stripes, I am healed. What he has accomplished at Calvary has removed every stain of sin. And I stand before God tonight with not one stain of sin upon me, all because he voluntarily suffered in my place. A willing Savior. I want to tell you, that's a Savior that's ready to meet you tonight. Couldn't love you more. He couldn't have made a fuller provision for you to make you right with God. The Savior's willingness. But let me tell you about his welcome. Will you just let me select some stories from the gospel writings and tell you about some who came to the Lord Jesus? When they came, they were welcomed. We have been reminded of one already tonight. His name is Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was a very good, moral, upright person. He would be like some folks that are with us in the meeting tonight. I'm sure there must be some Nicodemus in the meeting. Religious, moral. The Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, it doesn't matter how moral you are, Nicodemus, it doesn't matter how religious you are, there's one thing required if you're ever going to see the kingdom of God. You need to be born again.
You need a total new beginning. Our daughter had a car, kindly given to her by friends. They had cared for that car, beautiful maroon color, nice interior. In our state, you have to have your car inspected every year. So finally the time came around for the inspection. They said, sorry, it will not pass the inspection underneath. It's all rotted out, rusted. You're in danger, young lady, of going around the corner someday and the bottom falling out of your car. That car is not allowed on the road. Well, I want you to know we did our best to find somebody that could get around that problem. The car was ruined from its framework out. I kind of felt sad to have to take that nice shiny car and just get rid of it, sell it for junk. God says there is a ruin of sin in every human heart. It cannot enter the kingdom of God no matter how well it's dressed up on the outside. Now here's the critical point that I want you to come to. Will Nicodemus come to the Lord Jesus? Will he be welcomed by the Savior? It's all going to come down to this. And the Lord Jesus said it to him. If I have told you of earthly things, I've told you, you need another birth. If I have told you of earthly things and ye believe not, neither will ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things. In plain language, what the Lord Jesus said was this. Nicodemus, if you will not come to an admission of your need, then there is no remedy for you from God. If you are not willing to recognize you need a new birth, then there's no good news for you. There's no welcome with the Savior. Oh, he wants to welcome you tonight. But this man receives sinners. He welcomes those who admit their need. And if you're having trouble tonight being welcomed by the Savior, could I tell you, it's not a hesitation on his part. The problem is, you're just holding back on acknowledging your need. The next chapter, John chapter 4, there was a woman and she came to him and she was welcomed. But when she was all anxious to meet him, he said, now there's just one matter that we must deal with. And he put his finger on her sins. And you didn't want to hear that, did you? Because this Savior who was ready to meet you tonight knows every one of your sins. Every one. Could I try to explain to you what it means that he is omniscient, all-knowing? That at every moment, he is fully aware of every sin you have ever committed. How would you like to know a person that knows all about your past, and you would walk up to him with an open hand and say, pleased to meet you? He'd say, I sure hope he has a faulty memory. This man knows every sin. And more than that, if I knew all your past, I couldn't, I don't. But if I knew all your past, it would just be a fellow man who knows the past of another fellow person. But I want you to know tonight that this is God, this is the Holy One, who knows every sin, into whose hand is committed the judgment of a world of men and women. And every sin will be judged by this one. He knows all of your sin. You can't come to him hiding your sins. You can't come to him covering over your sins. You can't come to him pretending you're something you're not. But oh, let me tell you tonight, if you came as this woman came in John chapter 4, just a sinner, in her confession, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. There was a man that came to the Lord Jesus. He was a leper, covered over with leprosy. And when he came to the Lord Jesus, he had this question in his heart. And so he says to the Lord Jesus, if thou wilt, thou canst make me whole. If thou wilt. I wonder if there's someone in the meeting tonight, and your conscience is working tonight, and you're saying to yourself, but I feel that I am too bad. I just do not think that this Savior would save a sinner like me tonight. I just do not think that I could leave this meeting tonight knowing that Jesus of Nazareth had forgiven all of my sins. I just don't think that he would do that for a person like me. I don't feel worthy. I haven't done enough to merit that. If thou wilt, the leper says, the whole question that's involved here is, I'm just not sure if you're willing. I love the way the Lord Jesus responded. He didn't stop to pause and calculate. If thou wilt, thou canst make me whole. I will. Just as quick as that, there's a Savior tonight. Let it dispel every doubt in your mind. He is willing to take the most sinful person in the gathering tonight. I don't want you to be too proud to be the most sinful person before God this evening. He will take the most sinful. He is willing to cleanse guilty sinners. But let me tell you about another man dying. His crimes have him suspended before society to see his shame. He's dying as a thief for his crimes. Death approaches. He has already been mocking the Lord Jesus. And suddenly he realizes, wait a minute, this is an emergency. And he turns to the Lord Jesus and he says, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. Now tell me, what do you think is going to happen? He has come to the Lord Jesus at the 11th hour. He has just changed his behavior from mocking God's eternal Son, suspended in shame upon a cross beside him. And now he turns to them with the audacity to ask him to remember him. Once he scorned him. Once he spoke blasphemy against his name. And that quickly, just because he's in an emergency, he turns to him. You may have come into this meeting tonight and you may have uttered the name of the Lord Jesus in blasphemy on the sidewalk before you came in. Turn to the Lord Jesus tonight. He welcomed that thief with no further explanation. He turned to him simply, and in response to his petition, remember me, he said, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And the last words that were ringing in that man's ear, as he died for his crimes in shame, I'm going to be with him in paradise, he has said so. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Will you come tonight, soul, in this gathering? Will you come just as unworthy as the thief came and cry out for mercy from the Savior who is waiting to meet you tonight? Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Let me just tell you of one more. For I see a blind man. And one thing he is certain of, this Jesus can give me eyesight. And his friends are saying to him, Bartimaeus, keep quiet. Who wants to meet a beggar, blind man? Keep quiet. And the more they were pushing him down, the more he says, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I would to God tonight there were souls in this gathering, in every section of this auditorium, longing to have mercy from the Lord Jesus, longing to know sins forgiven, longing to know that they have met the Savior and will be with him eternally, longing to be sure my soul will never be lost in hell. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And your friends, they will tell you, don't be radical. And don't be too excited. Don't be overcome by the moment, whatever it may be. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if your determination tonight were this? If he is willing to welcome me, I want to meet him tonight. Nothing will stand in my way. This is the all-important matter of my life. My sins and the God whom I must meet and the eternity toward which I am hastening. I must meet Christ tonight. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Let me tell you just for a moment or two about his word. When he says, I will in no wise cast out, that word brings images to my mind from other sayings of the Savior. Because it was by the power of his word that he cast out demons. And now don't you bother trying to cast out demons. That's something you can't do and I can't do. It just took a word from the Lord Jesus. And with mighty omnipotence, he cast them out. I want you to know tonight that the word of the Lord Jesus has boundless power. There is no limit to what this Savior is able to do. His word cannot be thwarted, no matter what the power. He cast out demons. But could I tell you as well, that the same word is used in Matthew chapter 22, where the Lord Jesus tells the story of a man meeting a king at a wedding feast, and he was responsible to have a wedding garment on. You have to have a fitness if you're going to be in heaven. And when that man dared to present himself for that wedding feast without a garment, the king says, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into utter darkness. Can I tell you that the word of the omnipotent Christ has power to cast souls into eternal darkness? Please be very careful how you treat the tender entreaty of the Savior tonight. He is the one who will assign men and women to an endless hell. Treat his word lightly, and you are courting the disaster of being cast out from his presence forever. Is it any wonder we have been reminded tonight already, today, at this present moment in this meeting, if ye will hear his voice, he's inviting you to come. Harden not your heart. The eternal disaster that awaits you is beyond all proportion to describe. That your soul should eternally be cast away from the presence of God and lost forever. No heaven. But could I tell you tonight that all the power of his word is given to you just now. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. She's not here tonight, but maybe you have heard her tell the story, because she lives in Toronto of the time when her father was dying. Years he had rejected the gospel. And now in his dying hours, he was interested in being saved. And he said to her when she came to visit him, I'm trying to come, but he will not receive me. And she said to him, Dad, I know that you are wrong, because he has said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. This is not between you and the preachers. This is between your soul and your God. Between your soul and the Savior who suffered and died at Calvary. Will you come to him tonight? Will you let us just take you by the hand and bring you to that nail-pierced hand that you might meet the Savior, to bring you to God? And will you tonight, just simply where you're sitting, come to the Lord Jesus? Him that cometh to me, I won't cast him out tonight. I won't cast him out 100 years from now. Him that cometh to me, I will never, no, never, for eternity, cast him out. Come to him tonight, just guilty. He will welcome you. He will receive you. He will save you. In the name of our God, tonight, come. Let us pray.